This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Smartphones and tablets can help you with so much. Easy access to Google searching, dealing with your banking, even a map to get you to your destination. But they also can be the gateway to identity theft. We're going to talk this afternoon about protecting yourself and your identity. Joining me is solution architect and partner at Definity Partners LLC, Dave Hatter. You can join the discussion by calling us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi, Marianne. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me, how serious a problem is identity theft related to smartphones?
Well, I think it's not a huge problem yet, but I think as more and more people turn to these devices, whether it's smartphones or tablets or any kind of mobile device where security is often an afterthought, it's going to be an increasing problem because hackers and identity thieves and so forth understand that there's an increasing number of people out there, so, you know, they're going to redirect their efforts where the people are. And again, most people don't put any thought whatsoever into security on these devices. They don't really think of them as a computer. They think of it as something else.
Well, let's talk about that. What should you do? What do you advise people with a smartphone when they get their smartphone? What should they do to do everything they can to keep it secure?
Well, that's an excellent question. And unfortunately, that varies somewhat because you have different vendors out there and the specific settings and different software that's available varies a bit. But the general principles are the same. You need to find some kind of antivirus software. A lot of it's the same things you would do for your home PC. But again, it seems to me, just in casual conversation with folks, they don't really think of these devices as computers. So you need some kind of antivirus software. You need to follow basic physical security. One of the big problems with these devices as opposed to a PC is you're a lot more likely to lose it. I hate to admit it, but I've lost more than one cell phone over the last 20 years. So, you know, the mere fact that you leave it behind somewhere, someone steals it, you lose it, what kind of confidential and sensitive personal information might you have in there or customer information? So you need to make sure it has a password on it, a password that's not easily guessable. One of the things that people don't think about, and I'm not even sure most non-techie types are aware of, is remote wipe software. You can get software installed on these devices so that you can remotely say, I've lost my phone, I'm not going to find it, I don't know where it is, I don't want to have my bank account stolen, my identity stolen, my customer's information stolen, and literally wipe the device remotely, or in other words, delete everything on it, put it back to its factory settings.
And you can just do that by calling a number, or how do you do that?
Typically, it would be done over the internet, and you have to have software for it. Now, sometimes you can also go through, like Verizon has that capability through the Android device I have. I recently actually didn't lose the device, but it got damaged. It fell and the screen broke, so you couldn't control it anymore. So in the process of switching that out and sending it back, I wanted to make sure that any kind of customer information on there would be wiped. So we went through the Verizon, Google Android online interface for this and wipe the phone remotely. So there's different ways to do it. You're going to have to look into it for your specific phone. You know, Apple has their own way of doing it. Android has their own way. Microsoft has their own way. But it's something you at least need to understand that you can do. And it's a great way to take some basic security precautions to make sure that if you lose possession of the device, it's not going to turn up somewhere with a lot of information that could be harmful to you on it.
Now, you talk about wiping out your phone and the thought even of it's time for me to get a new phone and I'm just painfully putting it off because the thought of having to learn a new phone and all that all over again. Imagine losing everything that's on your phone. That idea of just wiping it out is scary. Where should you be backing it up?
Well, that's an excellent question, too. And to some extent, my answer on this would depend now maybe versus 6 months ago with some of the NSA revelations that have come out. Most of the iPhone, Apple-type vendors out there have cloud-based solutions where you can literally back everything up to the cloud. I've got an Android phone. It's pretty simple to do through Verizon to just back everything up. I'm not a huge, huge fan of that because if you're a hacker, okay, would you rather try to break into my computer at home to see what you could find or break into Verizon's cloud-based backup service and see what you could find out there? So while admittedly, Verizon, Sprint, these guys that have these cloud-based backup services are going to be capable of doing a much better job securing your information in theory. You can't go more than a day without finding some data breach somewhere. And again, you know, you've created a giant surface area for these hackers to attack as opposed to, well, let's see if we can break into Marianne's home computer because we just stumbled into it and see what we can find. So you really have two choices, really, I guess, three choices. You can go with a cloud-based solution. That's certainly the most simple way to go about it. Because it pretty much takes care of itself automatically. For most of these devices, you can plug them into your computer, and if you're kind of a techno dork like me, it's pretty easy to back up. You could even potentially plug it into some kind of external device through the USB port, just like an external drive, have the thing show up and back up to it. So you have a lot of options, but that's a really good point. You should back that data up, but then you also have to understand, back to our security angle on this, whatever you're backing up, if that's not secure, you run the same risk of having your identity stolen, having your bank account hacked into or whatever. You need to make sure that the data is, you know, it's not the phone that you have to worry about. It's the data on it and things like your passwords it might contain that you want to make sure is secure however you back it up.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question or a comment, we're talking about identity theft and your smartphone today. My guest is Dave Hatter. We were talking a little bit about the whole idea of backing up and securing your phone and being protected and all those sorts of things. What are the greatest areas of risk? Is just that backup being stolen or your phone being stolen your greatest area of risk? Are there other areas people ought to look at?
There are definitely other areas. I think probably the single greatest risk most people will face is loss of the device or having it stolen, right? You leave it sitting around for a second, you come back and it's gone. That's probably the single greatest risk because it's the easiest thing for someone to do. You know, it becomes a crime of opportunity. You don't really have to necessarily be sitting around thinking about how you're going to steal someone's information. But there are a lot of other risks out there. Anytime you're using a mobile device that's connected to the internet, or frankly, any device connected to the internet, you're pretty much basically saying, I'm a target. Now, again, is someone going to be more interested in coming after you than, let's say, Verizon or IBM or Microsoft? Well, of course they're not. But you run into two major areas of possible risk. A, you download some kind of app without really understanding what the terms say, who the vendor of the application is, and then it potentially essentially being malware that's stealing your information. Or B, and this is probably more likely, because one of the things Apple has going for it is they won't put apps in the App Store without their review of it. You know, they have a fairly stringent, rigorous process. So that's not to say that something won't slide through. But unlike on an Android phone where their app store is wide open and anyone can do anything they want, it's fairly restrictive and the likelihood that something really bad is going to slip through there is relatively small. And then you've got public Wi-Fi. You know, one of the great things about the internet nowadays is it's pretty ubiquitous. It's hard to go anywhere where you can't get on the internet. So you see more people spending more time on these devices, and it's a great way from a business perspective to reach people because they have these devices and they use them. But the flip side of that is when you're using public Wi-Fi, especially if it's unsecured public Wi-Fi, you have no idea who can see the information that you're sending over that Wi-Fi connection. And it's absolutely possible that someone could be sitting in the Starbucks that you're at and basically sucking down everything that's going through that public Wi-Fi. So if you're in a public location, whether it's on a phone or you're at a library or whatever, and you're using any kind of public connection, any kind of public Wi-Fi, you're pretty much setting yourself up to have your information stolen if you're doing anything of any real consequence. So in other words, don't do any kind of online banking from public Wi-Fi. Don't fill out any kind of forms that would ask for sensitive personal information, social security numbers, or anything that could be used to steal your identity because, frankly, it's just not secure. Now, there are some things you can do to make it more secure, but as a general rule of thumb, I would not use public Wi-Fi for anything other than just basically casual web surfing.
Looking for a restaurant where you're somewhere.
Exactly. Some real basic stuff like that, and I would do anything like banking from a computer at home where I have a lot more control over that environment and I can be sure that it's got antivirus and all that sort of stuff on it. Because again, you literally can walk into a restaurant, you could be in any place where there's free public Wi-Fi, which a lot of people use and use regularly because they don't understand the risk.
There's no way to make that secure.
Well, honestly, no. There are ways to make it more secure. You know, A, is it encrypted Wi-Fi? Does it use some kind of, you know, if it's truly public unsecured Wi-Fi without a web key or WPA key or something, it's very difficult to make secure. Now, you can use VPN software, virtual private networking software. Here's the problem with that. Unless you use some sort of corporate software where you literally, and the whole idea of a VPN is it creates a private connection over the internet where all the data is encrypted, okay? But outside of a corporate environment where it's totally controlled, even if you use some of the either free or low-cost private individual VPN software, it's not encrypted end-to-end. It's encrypted to their servers, but once it comes out of their servers, there's no guarantee that it's encrypted. So your information then, in theory, is just flying around over the internet in a way that anyone could capture. So there are steps you can take, but they're not that great at this
point. What about at a hotel? You know, you hear about, you know, the Starbucks, which
Good
is
question.
Very – but what about when you're in your hotel room? That somehow seems more secure, is it?
Not really. In theory, you'd like to hope that the hotel and the people that set up the systems at the hotel – because typically at a hotel, you're going to have to get a password and, you know, their systems are going to be slightly more locked down. You can't just suddenly get a connection on the internet. But there's really no reason why someone in the hotel wants – and if you have people who are determined and knowledgeable about this, they could easily defeat those kind of systems and literally be sucking down all the data there. So my general advice would be, again, if I'm at a hotel, I'll send emails. I probably wouldn't send any kind of really sensitive confidential email from the hotel. And I would not do any kind of online banking or anything where my personal or my family's personal information that could be used for identity theft could be stolen.
We have a caller from Montgomery. Susan's calling in, 513-419-7100. Hi, Susan. What's your question?
Hi. Okay. He's probably going to laugh after everything you said. But my question is, I've just got my iPhone. There's all kinds of apps about, you know, financing and doing your budget. But there's one there, too, that says, store all your passwords in a secure, you know, app. So would you say this is a terrible, terrible idea?
You know, Susan, that's actually a really good question. I'm kind of glad you called. It's not a terrible idea, but I personally would never do it on my phone, and or I would research the vendor of that application and the application itself really extensively. There are all kinds of industry magazines out there like PC Week or Information Week where they have editors that review this kind of stuff, and, you know, they're going to have some kind of at least relatively good information about, is it really secure or not? Is this just simply some kind of app that's trying to steal all your passwords? So, you know, before I would ever consider using something like that, I would research the heck out of it first. And honestly, I would never use something like that on a phone because it's so easy to lose the phone. And then if you lose the phone, they potentially have all your passwords. So there's lots of vendors that make that kind of software for PCs. If you have a PC in your house that's obviously not just going to get up and walk away, I would say, you know, I would be a lot more comfortable with that. I personally admit I'm somewhat paranoid about this kind of stuff. So, no, I would not use an application like that at all. But I know people that do. And I wouldn't tell you that I would lose sleep over it if it were on a regular PC. But I personally would not put information like that on a device that would be easy to lose or be easy for someone to steal.
Susan, thanks for your call. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment as we talk about identity theft and your smartphone today. With the smartphone, is that safer to use than a tablet if you're out because you're not going to be on public Wi-Fi, say you're sitting in the Starbucks?
Well, that's another really good question, Marianne. It might be as long as you understand, like, you know, like my phone can either use the cellular network or it can get on Wi-Fi. And, you know, you can configure it to use one or both. Typically, I've got mine set up so that it'll sense Wi-Fi, but it asks me what I want to get on and what I want to do. It doesn't just get on to stuff. In theory, the cellular network is going to be more secure because it's not the public internet where information is just flying around out there. I personally, if I really felt obligated to do something that I thought of a sensitive nature from my phone or a tablet, I would not do it on Wi-Fi of any kind. I would use the cellular network to do it. I mean, as a business, we've built applications for customers who have, you know, field representatives out doing stuff that are using the cellular network because you can't always get internet access somewhere. That's definitely more secure. I still wouldn't tell you. I mean, anything that's connected to anything else is in theory hackable. But generally speaking, I would tell you that's a lot more secure and I would be a lot less worried about that.
What about all the apps that are out there in general? I know you always have to accept all of their terms. And a lot of times I'll look at those and say, what about the ones that always know where I am? Do you want somebody to always know where you are? Is that something you should worry about?
That's another good question. And in my mind, that's really sort of a personal preference. Many apps make it worth your while to tell them where you are, right? You know, you can get applications that will send you coupons based on your location or your proximity to a store that has a deal or something. So I wouldn't tell you that it never makes sense. I use Google Maps all the time myself on my phone to get where I want to go. Of course, it has to know my location to figure out how to show me where I am and where I want to go. I don't, though, generally just willy-nilly throw my location out to any application that wants to know it. I will turn it on once I've decided for myself that I want, you know, what they're going to give me is worth me giving up my location.
What
about things like, is it Foursquare where you can say where you are and meet up with friends? Is it a good idea to always let people know where you are?
I would say probably not. Again, I tend to be somewhat paranoid about these kind of things. And admittedly, I will check into places on Facebook. Like I was talking outside about Scotty's. I love Scotty's restaurant down here. So I want to give Scotty's a little love anytime I'm there. I have a lot of friends on Facebook. So I'm trying to help them out. You know, I don't just check in everywhere I go. I wouldn't do that because, you know, if someone had ill will for you, and they could find you on Foursquare, Facebook, or whatever, and you were constantly telling them everywhere you are, it wouldn't be too hard for them to figure out where you might be, how to find you, how to cause you some problems. There was an interesting—
Or that you're not home.
Yeah, well, that's another really good point. I know we're going to run out of time soon. Do not post that you're going on vacation on Facebook before you go on vacation. It's a well-known fact. You can Google this, and you'll see numerous examples of actual burglary rings using Facebook to target people that are not home. If you're going to be out of town for an extended period of time on a vacation or whatever, talk about it after you come back. Post the pictures after you come back. Don't do it beforehand because you're basically setting yourself up to get burglarized.
Thank you so much. It went so quickly. We'll have to have you back for more information. And it changes, right? It changes all the time,
unfortunately.
I've been talking with Dave Hatter. He is from Solution Architect and Partner at Definity Partners, LLC. You can read more about what we've been talking about and find links to some information on our website at wvxu.org.